Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
So, for the first time, scientists have directly dated a fossilized dinosaur egg. And this is a new method, producing a remarkably precise age for an egg from a nesting site in Xi'an, China, 85.9 million years old, right in the late Cretaceous. So what exactly does a dinosaur egg look like? And what could this development mean for fossil dating in the future? Well, joining me now is Professor Maria McNamara. She's Professor of Paleontology at University College Cork. Welcome, Maria. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
So before we get into the dating, I just want to ask you some basic stuff because I've never seen a real dinosaur egg. I presume they're all sorts of sizes and shapes and colours, just like birds' eggs, are they?
Well, sizes and shapes, yes. So they can range from spheres, effectively looking like little balls, like an orange, through to kind of quite long rod-shaped features. So kind of like a fat sausage, if you can imagine your Clonakilty black pudding. So they have quite long shapes, you know, quite different to modern birds. Colours, you see, most of the eggs are, during the fossilisation process, any original colours are usually lost, but there are some very interesting cases of fossil eggshells that actually retain traces of some of the pigments that they once had. So we know, for instance, that some ancient eggs had that bluish green color that we might see on the eggs of some modern birds.
Very cool. And because they're bigger, the eggshells tend to be thicker or no?
Yes. So you would normally expect that. But, you know, during the fossilization process, the shell can be added to by minerals, by crystals that grow during fossilization.
OK. And so your work is in all sorts of things, but we're particularly interested in this egg and how we date it. So how up until now have we been dating fossilized dinosaur eggs?
Up until now, we've been applying the standard methods that we use for dating fossils and indeed just rocks in general. So our, you know, best method is it's entirely dependent on detecting very tiny amounts of radioactive elements in rocks. So we're looking at elements such as uranium or thorium or potassium. And what we have to do is, these radioactive elements, they effectively change, their atomic structure changes over time. And over time, they transform into new elements. So uranium decays into thorium or lead. And so what we can do is, we know the rate at which this transformation happens. It's kind of like watching sand fall down through an egg timer. You know, it's a constant rate. So if we want to know how old a rock is, we simply have to measure how much uranium, how much lead, and we can work out the age. And so we've been doing this, geologists have been doing this for decades with rocks. And the only real kind of difficulty is that these radioactive elements, they're not very common. They're present in parts per million or parts per billion even in rocks. So, if you take a hand-sized piece of rock, you might find only a very small amount of these radioactive elements. And if you don't have many, you don't have much confidence in your date. So the struggle has always been to find enough.
Such is the story of paleontology, paleoanthropology. Struggling with dates has been one of the biggest failings, I think, in this particular area, right? Like, how much confidence do we have in the dating of these dinosaur eggs, really? I mean, do we really, when we have so little information to go on, is it a ballpark guess?
Oh, no, these dates can be incredibly accurate, because...
But how do we know?
Because physics, we can watch the radiogenic decay of elements into other elements. The problem with rocks is that, and with fossils that you're dating, is that, you know, the age that is set, so the ratios of those two elements... that are set in place, that are locked in place when the animal dies, they may be changed by the fossilization process. So we have lots of evidence that these radiometric, the amounts of these isotopes They can change if, let's say, if the rocks are buried too much, if they're heated too much, if they're cooked, if hot fluids pass through and can replace some of the elements. So, you know.
But of course, I mean, of course, all of those things might have an effect on it when you think about it. So how do you get to feeling that these are accurate?
Yeah. So what you have to do is you don't just measure one sample. You measure lots of samples, and you don't just measure one type of fossil. You should measure other fossils in the same rock layer. And so ideally, you know, the best sources, the best types of things to analyze to get geological dates out of are volcanic rocks. So you're looking for a lava flow, you're looking for an ash fall. And, you know, these are pretty common in a lot of these, in a lot of, these Cretaceous rocks. So, you know, ideally, the ideal situation is that you take your date from your fossil and then you measure, you know, your isotopes in rock layers above and below. And if everything is correct, and if your rocks haven't been damaged too much, you should actually get dates that are pretty similar for both your ash deposits and for your fossil in question. So that's how you can gauge whether your dates are accurate or whether they've been altered during fossilization.
And is this your new method? Is it to look for lava flows in ash, or have we developed something better than this?
No, this is the standard method. This method simply hasn't been applied to dinosaur eggs before. We've been applying this method in paleontology to loads of fossils. We've even analyzed dinosaur bones with this method. Huh. It's not new. But what they have done, it's been really tricky to detect enough of the radioactive elements in the eggshells. So now we've developed techniques that are more sensitive. So, you know, we can detect smaller amounts and analyze the ratios of the isotopes in much smaller quantities than we were able to do before. So that's what's changed. Our new, more sensitive methods are allowing us to actually estimate dates directly from fossils rather than rock layers above and below.
Mm.
So that's what the big advance is.
And so so what can this help in terms of our understanding of dinosaurs? Why is it important to date them so carefully? How does it advance the science?
So the reason why dates are important is because the dates tell us when evolutionary things happened, when species lived.
Mm.
This is absolutely essential if we want to build evolutionary trees, if we want to build a tree of life that makes sense. If our geological dates are wrong, well, then we're potentially putting animals and plants in the wrong order in our tree of life. Huh. So if we really want to track ancestors and descendants, we've got to get the dates right. And that's basically the bottom line. That's the base, the foundation that all the rest of zoology and plant science and paleontology is built on. So it's absolutely critical.
How often do we find dinosaur eggs? I mean, my understanding is China is a gold mine for fossils. Have you been out there? Is it? Do you just trip over fossils in some parts of China, or have we dug up pretty much everything there is to find by now?
Oh, jeepers! China's a huge country. So I've done field work in China. I've been doing field work in China for about 12 years on rocks of similar ages. And do you know there are sites where dinosaur nests are extremely abundant. And, you know, any site that is discovered, you know, China is now rapidly playing catch up and is putting protections in place to try and limit the amount of these specimens that end up, you know, ending up on the black market. And that actually is one of the biggest problems that paleontology is facing at the moment.
Really?
Many of our best specimens are actually disappearing. And, you know, some of this is historical, you know, specimens that were found during the golden age of colonial expansion, ended up on the black market. But this is still happening. And, you know, there are lots of countries around the world where, fossil digs are undocumented. They're not monitored. These are all parts of our natural history, and they're ending up in private hands. You know, some dinosaur specimens end up going for sale in Sotheby's and other major auction houses for millions of euros. And those
you can see why the black market exists. You know, you dig it out of the ground, you get €1 million. I mean,
yeah, but
certainly appealing.
It's certainly appealing and it's commercial, but that's, you know, that's the primary scientific evidence. If we don't have access to those specimens to study, and some of these could be really important in helping us understand evolution. So, you know, and there are other issues as well, like in some countries, the digging and the sale of fossils has actually been used to fund military juntas. So like in Myanmar, now at the moment in paleontology, you cannot publish using these fossils from Myanmar, because unless you can prove that your specimens were discovered before the military took over the country.
God, you're making it sound like a real Indiana Jones caper. You know, you've got military funding, you've got, you know, I'm just imagining guys with, you know, wooden boxes in desert plains, you know, one person handing over a dinosaur fossil, the other person handing over some M65s or something. It does sound much like behind closed doors, that there is an Indiana Jones world going on.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to control, because a lot of these fossil locations, you know, they're in remote places. You might have to hike for 3 days to get there. And what happened is, as an academic, as a professional paleontologist, you know, we apply for our permits. It takes months, sometimes years, to get all the paperwork in order. We arrive at the site and you can see a load of trenches that have been dug. Clearly, people have been working there recently. And, a lot of the prime material is gone. We've even had that problem. Wow. We've had that problem here in Ireland. We still have it right now. So we have some fabulous fossil locations around the country. You can find about them. We've an incredible fossil map of Ireland on our website.
I thought the ground was too soft.
So Ireland has a really rich paleontological history going back to some of the first animals 520 million years ago. So we don't have much from the time of the dinosaurs, just because most of our rocks are the wrong age. But we do have some. We have two Irish dinosaurs. But we have a really rich fossil record from pre-dinosaur times. You can find fossils all around the country. But
don't sell them on the black market.
There are places around Ireland where you can see that the rock collectors have actually been damaging sites. So we really urgently need to protect our geological sites.
Very, very interesting. Professor Maria McNamara from University College Cork, thank you so much for your time. Really interesting.
Thank you.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.